There's a lot of people, even in our churches today, even in God's children, who deal with stress and anxiety on a daily basis to the point that it really kind of paralyzes them to some extent. And so it keeps us from being fully who God wants us to be. It keeps us from enjoying our freedom that God wants us to experience as His children and to trust Him. And so as we'll look at this, we'll see this. Just a thought as I was comparing the two passages last week and this week. You know, it became more and more just evident to me that last week, you know, one of the main verses that we emphasized and we spent some time on was verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I kind of just asked the question, where is your treasure? What is your treasure? Who is your treasure? And the challenge that I put forth is that we would treasure God above all things, and He would be our treasure, our heart's desire. And so we see the subject of treasure, but as I'm comparing the two passages, last week's passage on dealing with the treasures of life deals more with the luxuries of life. This week's passage deals more with the necessities of life. Now, we in America, we have struggles on both of these spheres. And honestly, the truth is, no matter if we're rich or if we're poor, or if we're somewhere in between, the way most of us are, our attitude toward material possessions is truly one of the most reliable marks of our own spiritual condition that there is. As God's children, we are called to keep our eyes on Him and on His kingdom, as we're going to see even in this passage tonight, more than our own worlds and our own kingdoms. One of my favorite life quotes that I say it often, and it wasn't original with me. I guess somebody said once, if you quote something long enough, it becomes yours. I'm not sure where that mark is. But one of my favorite life quotes from Warren Wiersbe says, "What life does to us depends on what life finds within us." The same two families or two individuals can deal with the same two life situations, and there can be two totally different reactions to those situations. Why is that? Because what life does to us depends on what life finds within us. You know, Jesus kind of told that story about the man who built his house upon the rock and the man who built his house upon the sand. They both faced the same circumstance in life, a hurricane type event. And one of them stood solid, and the other one was literally blown away. And when we mature in our spiritual lives and we get to the point where we are not overwhelmed by worry and anxiety in our life, then it gives us that spiritual strength and that maturity to see life from God's perspective. And so there's so many life lessons in this passage, and it's really a simple passage. And we'll just work through some of it here together tonight. And I pray that God will use it in your life and in my life to help all of us grow in His grace and in His knowledge. So let me read the text to us beginning in verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, and will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this passage tonight, and I pray for preaching grace, Lord. I pray beyond even, Lord, my own thoughts and notes that I've taken, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate me and empower me to share from this passage, Lord, even your very word tonight. Lord, it's your word that transforms our lives. And Lord, I realize that lives filled with anxiety can be very difficult at times. And so I pray that you'll help us to just be men and women of sincere faith, and we will seek you even in this very delicate and yet sometimes difficult area of our life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I started once to come up here tonight dealing with this subject, and I think some of the staff guys some time ago, we got kind of a laugh. I don't know, you'd have to be over 50 to know who Bob Newhart is. Well, Bob Newhart, you know, he had this show, and there was a little segment, and I'm not sure if it was one of the clips. You could probably still YouTube it, or, you know, search it, Google it or something, it'd come up. And he was playing the role of a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and a lady came into his office, and he was kind of just funny from the get-go. He said he only charged $5 is all he ever charged, and she liked that. And, you know, he said, and most of my sessions usually only last 5 minutes. And she was kind of unsure about all that. But, you know, as it went on, he said, well, what's your problem? And she said, well, I have this fear of being buried alive. And he just sat there and looked at her. And then he said, well, is there anything else? Yeah, being stuck on an elevator. And he said, like claustrophobia. And she said, yeah, I guess, you know. And so he was already kind of making a breakthrough. And he said, well, get out your notepad, and I've got some words I'm going to share to you. And she got it out, and you know, she said, well, I need a lot. And he said, no, you won't need a lot. It's just two words. And she looked at him, and she said, okay, I'm ready. And he just looked at her, and he kind of yelled with a raised voice. He said, stop it. Stop it. So if you want to Google that and have a good laugh tonight, Google that. Stop it, Bob Newhart, okay? And you'll get to see that. And so I kind of, there's a part of me that wanted to come up here tonight and say, because so many people tell us all the time, well, Pastor, I'm just a warrior. Just stop it. But it's not always that simple, is it? But there is some common sense logic to that. We need to train our minds to know that when we go a certain direction, we don't need to go there. And God can give us grace to retrain our thinking to where we don't just let the devil set up camp. He tells us, even in Scripture, things he wants us to think on and dwell on and occupy our minds with. But so often we occupy our minds with all the what-ifs of life. And that probably in and of itself is a whole nother sermon, but I couldn't help but just think of that as I was thinking about this sermon tonight. You know, to say honestly, according to Scripture, in this passage, Jesus mentions the word anxious in here 6 times, just in this one passage. Repetitively, he says, not to be anxious about your life. He says that. And, you know, when we see that, I know that on the surface, it's easier said than done because there's so many things that come at us in life. But we have to understand that from a spiritual, biblical perspective, worry and anxiety is a sin. It's a sin at its very core in its nature. I mentioned a book last week that kind of deals with some of these subjects, and it was called The Sins of the Saints by Herbert Lockhart. It's an older book. If you want a more modern version of that book that's along the same line, and both of them have chapters on worry in them. And it's called Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. And they're both excellent books to read and to understand that, yes, there are sins that we get so accustomed to as God's children that we act like they're not even sins anymore. And so we have to guard our hearts, and God tells us that. And this is something that's reaching epidemic proportions, not only in our churches, but in our lives, and creating all kind of havoc in our families, probably some of which we won't ever fully recognize and realize even this side of eternity. But I really want to help us tonight to just be reminded from Scripture, let God help us from God's Word, just some simple approaches, maybe not as simple as Bob Newhart, but nonetheless simple, you know, on how just to get this. And one of them really parallels real well with one of Brother Don's final thoughts this morning in his message when he was talking about this. So as we look at this, how are we going to win the war over anxiety in our lives? And as we follow God's pattern, even from this wonderful passage, well, the first thing he tells us here in this passage that I'm going to share with you tonight, just remember who your heavenly Father really is. Remember who your heavenly Father really is. The very first word that he says in our text that I read tonight is therefore. And he takes us back to the previous verse. No one can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and he will hate the other, or hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. No man can serve both God and manna. And he had been talking about this, you know, in this passage. But he kind of dealt with that in the whole sphere of treasures. But very specifically, right there on that passage, he tells us, he says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on treasures on earth. Don't be consumed with the things of this world. Paul told us in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. And so he tells us we have to renew our minds through Scripture and through the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is the knowledge of His Word. And that's the way it comes into our hearts and comes into our life. And we have to remember, and so Jesus cuts right through the chase here. And he says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? He said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor they gather in the barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. So here he is. He's talking about how the heavenly Father feeds the birds. And then he makes the point here, are you not of more value than they? And some might say, well, I'm not sure if I'm more value than they. But, you know, God's Word is very straightforward on this as we see this and we understand this and we grasp the significance of what God is telling us here in this passage of Scripture. I think my mic might have just went off. I'm not sure. But anyway, I guess we're still on. I've got a pretty loud voice. We'll get through this. But, you know, God's telling us here, remember your heavenly Father. So God talks in a general way, and we won't just dissect every little verse in this passage, but when you look at this and you see how it just all rolls together, he's saying, I care about the birds of the air. I care about the lilies of the field. I care about the plant life. I care about the animal life. I care about all these things. Can you not get the fact that I care about my children? I care about you. Peter tells us, Peter walked with him. And Peter tells us in his epistle, one of the greatest passages in all of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. God cares for you. Sometimes we get in a rut and we get filled with discouragement and we think, well, nobody cares. Well, get over yourself. God cares. And there's times in our life we have to realize and remember that God is enough. Amen. The whole world can desert you. The Bible tells us that David over in 1 Samuel, David encouraged himself in the Lord. when his men were saying, let's kill David, because they had been overtaken by the enemy. And David went to the Lord and he encouraged himself. We don't have all the details of how he did it, but I think generally in Scripture we see that David encouraged himself through the Scriptures, through God's Word, and God even blessed David to be able to record Scriptures. He also encouraged himself through song, and this is great tidbits of advice for us. Sometimes you're weary and you're full of anxiety. Put you on some good Christian music, amen? And quit listening to all the country music. Oh, me? We got an amen and oh, me right there. You know, you're just putting stuff into your mind that's just destroying your thinking. And God says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life, even this issue of worry and anxiety. And so you've got to move on. You've got to remember who your Heavenly Father is. As Chris Tomlin has so wonderfully told us in the song, he is a good, good father. He really is. And that'd be a good song for you to start listening to if you're plagued with anxiety. If you're just worrying about everything. And some people are just so plagued with it, they have to end up even going to the doctor and getting prescription medication. And I realize at certain times in our life we may need that just to help us through a very difficult season. But folks, I still believe that God is enough. And God can help us in these areas. Don't fall for things of a lesser sort too quickly. People turn to drugs and alcohol when they're overwhelmed by life. And so therefore today in America, we have addiction issues just bombarding us. And just killing our society in so many ways with abuse of dependency upon illegal drugs and prescription and non-prescription, both of them. And so he cuts right through here and he tells us, do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about your life, about the things in your life, about every aspect of your life. Don't be anxious about that thing. Dr. Jerry Bridges in his book, Respectable Sins, as I was reading through some of that this week in preparation for this message, he's an older man now. He's probably close to 90 years old, in his 80s. And he says, I have to admit that anxiety is an issue that really plagues me at times. He said, I'm called often to travel at this stage in my life, and kind of reminds me of a feeble gentleman, Brother Don, when you look at his appearance, kind of like Vance Havner. And he said, oftentimes I leave out in Colorado and I travel and I have to make a connecting flight, and I'm always worried about that flight coming through and the connecting flight. And then it occurred to me one day, is God God? Or is he not God? If I miss the flight, God is still God. And he's on his throne. If I'm late and they have to adjust the meeting, God is still God. I'm trying to be responsible. I'm not being neglectful. There are certain things that are just out of our hands. And it's those things that have a tendency to plague us. And just pull at us, which is what really at the root of the word anxiety is really all about, being stretched, being pulled apart. And that's what we're doing to ourselves mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. No wonder Jesus was so straightforward when he said these things. He says, I will take care of even my creation. You are the height of my creation. Don't you know that I will take care of you? So remember your Heavenly Father. And then as he moves on in this passage, he gives us even a deeper nugget here as we see this and we understand this. He says, not only do I want you to renew remember your Heavenly Father, but I want you to renew your faith. And he scolds them even at the end, or scolds us at the end of verse 30. He said, if God clothes the grass of the field and alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And then he says these words, O you of little faith. I want you to connect the dots with that statement because anxiety is a sin of distrusting God. I don't think God has this. I know God's big. I know He created the world. But this situation I'm dealing with, God's not in control here. Who are we kidding? That's not the God we love and serve and worship. Our God is in control of everything. His providence overextends everything. His sovereignty is everywhere. He is God, and we need to let Him be God, not just in the world we live in, but we need to let Him be God in our world and in our lives. And we need to understand that when Jesus said, and He scolded people for doubting Him on being able to take care of us and the issues of our life that we face, and he's calling us here in this passage to renew that faith, as He tells us this. Now, we can really see that this is a vital point because when you start doubting God, that's when anxiety kicks in. And so this passage and every other passage of Scripture, by the way, and some of us just need to set up camp on this passage. But there's a lot of other good ones as well. They need to be faith-building exercises in our lives. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And so we do have inky-dinky, wimpy faith. I'm just going to lay it out there on real low shelf where we can all get it. Inky-dinky, wimpy faith. The disciples had it at times. Jesus scolded them often, O ye of little faith. Wonder what He's saying about us when He sees our lives being torn apart with anxiety. O ye of little faith. And part of remembering our Heavenly Father is a faith-building exercise also. But very specifically, they were listening to the Word of God every time Jesus spoke. Why? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. And He is the living Word of God. Now, we need to go to God's Word and we need to build our faith. And the reason we're bombarded by so many things in this world is because that we are neglecting the greatest avenue that He's given us for a faith-building exercise. This Bible, this book, and pouring our lives into the pursuit of God through this book. Not just an academic exercise. Guys, I'm trying to learn who God is. I want His Word to just immerse me in such a way that I'm eating, sleeping, and breathing the thoughts of God through the pages of Scripture. Why? So it can transform my life. And it can make me into the man of God God is calling me to be. We're not just doing this to impress people. You know, you spend time with God because it's really, where else can you go? Brother Don mentioned tonight the travesty that we're dealing with as a nation down in Houston. And that's truly a travesty. And we can sit there and just be so overwhelmed with CNN or Fox News or the Weather Channel and all the reports that are coming in. And some of that's probably needful to just make reality set in, because I promise you, those people tonight are concerned about the necessities of life, not the luxuries of life. They're living in this passage. Most of us, we're not really concerned about where our next meal's coming from. We're not really concerned about if we're going to have a suit of clothes to wear tomorrow or not. Those are the necessities of life. People there that face that type of catastrophe and disaster, it changes your perspective. You lose a loved one, and all of a sudden you realize what's really most important in life. Not all these other things that I'm being so bombarded with and I'm being so overwhelmed with. And worry is accomplishing nothing. They've done different surveys, and different pastors themselves have been honest enough to admit, and I don't know how you do these type of things, that as much as 80 to 90% of everything they worried about never came to be. Never came to be. But nonetheless, we continue to worry. We need to build our faith. You know, the writer of Hebrews nails this down so well in Hebrews 11 when he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. No wonder we're not pleasing Him. We're not believing in Him. We're not trusting in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists. And I like the last part of that verse. And He rewards those that seek Him. He rewards us in glorious and gracious ways. He rewards us with peace in the midst of life's storms. He's still the peace speaker. Jesus looked at the turbulent waters and He said, peace, be still. And He still wants to say that in your heart and my heart and our lives when the waves of anxiety are literally blowing us away. He wants us to hear His voice resonating over and over and over again. He wants to calm the troubled waters of your life and my life. We're all going to face certain struggles and tragedies and disappointments in life. It's not about us facing the storms of life. Everybody's going to face the storms of life because that's part of being human. That's part of our human existence. And this world is full of trouble, even as Jesus said, and even as Solomon has said, and full of sorrow. And that's the reality of it. But God doesn't leave us alone through it. He says, trust in Me. Have faith in Me. You know, David, when he looked at the heavens and the earth, and he said, everything in it belongs to God. My own existence is part of God. The earth is the Lord's, and all is contained in the world, and those who dwell in it, I belong to God. He is a good heavenly Father. And He wants us to renew our faith in Him. And then finally, tonight, as we close this message, He wants us to regain our spiritual focus. And so He comes to a place in this passage which becomes kind of the highlight verse. And He told them, as He scolded them again after He said, oh, you have little faith. He said, don't you understand it's the Gentiles? Now, when He uses the word Gentiles in verse 32, He's talking about the unregenerate people, the unsaved people. The world that we live in is seeking after those things. Those are the things that are consuming life today in America, by the way. But He said in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What a powerful verse in the context of overcoming worry and anxiety. That's keeping the text in the passage. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of all the little details of your life. You'll see them just fall into place. So I'm going to seek God's kingdom and not my own warped kingdom. I'm going to pray each day as I seek God's kingdom, Father, your kingdom come and your will be done right here on earth, even as it's being done in heaven. Because God, honestly, I'm trying to get myself there. I want to be more concerned with your kingdom than I do my little kingdom. I know there are times, God, I get things all out of whack and out of balance. But God, your kingdom is an eternal kingdom. Your kingdom is an enduring kingdom. Your kingdom's the one that really matters, God, because your kingdom is the sphere of influence that you have over everyone's life that belongs to you, your subjects, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the King. And because you're the King, you're in control of all these things. And so I want to seek your kingdom above all these earthly kingdoms that are bombarding us for our attention. And then not only do I want to seek your kingdom, I also want to seek your righteousness. Not my self-righteousness, God, but your true righteousness, because you're truly a holy and a righteous God. And I know we have imputed righteousness at the time of our salvation when Christ imputes his righteousness on us and we become his children. But there's also a daily practical righteousness that plays out in sanctification in our lives, every day of our lives, as I make the right decisions to live for God and to love God and to advance his kingdom and his righteousness in my life rather than my own self-righteousness, which is always a dilemma. God, may your righteousness be revealed in our life. So as we regain this focus in our lives, he kind of ends this passage in a very interesting way. He kind of brings it home to us. He gives us one of the most interesting passages, I think, in all the scriptures. It's oftentimes just somewhat overlooked. But he reminds us one more time in verse 34. Therefore, in light of everything I just got through telling you, go back and re-listen to the whole sermon. Amen. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, did you hear that? God brings just enough trouble in your life and in my life every day to keep us dependent upon him. And some of us are a little bit stubborn, and he has to bring a little bit more trouble. Each day has enough trouble. You don't have to worry about the things of the past. You don't have to worry about the things of tomorrow. God says, focus on today. The psalmist said it this way, very simply, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's not this was the day or this will be the day. This is the day. Live in present tense and let God help you win the war over worry and anxiety in your life. He will give you the victory. And what a sweet, sweet victory it is. You don't have to be bombarded with all the cares of this world. You don't have to excuse your sinfulness by saying, oh, I'm just a worrier. What you have to do is remember your Heavenly Father, renew your faith, and regain your spiritual vision to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and let him take care of all the other things in our lives. Brother Ben's going to come and lead us in a song of appeal. Brother Don and I'll be here in the altar together to pray with you, to encourage you. I know this is one of those messages that perhaps, let's stand together tonight. Perhaps it is, as Jerry Bridges so honorably calls it in his book, maybe it is a respectable sin. He's trying to use a little dignity there. But nonetheless, it can take us down a path that we really don't need to go. There are things in our life that trouble each and every one of us, even this night. And know that your Father in heaven cares about you more than you even realize. And I pray that His Word will guide us to a closer walk with Him in this area of our life, even this evening. As Brother Don and I will be here to receive you if we can pray with you. Oh, so